hopefully I can tell a good story today. It's basically it will be all about three articles. The first one basically is the Rob just discussed, the one the first PIO comes. And then it's also I will also cover a little bit. It's like what Anna discussed yesterday, also with Francesco, Genius, Nicola, of course, Oleg. And the third one will be the Partisan. All these three articles are interconnected. So the first thing, of course, acknowledge it's a fantastic workshop. And also I have so many fantastic collaborators, and particularly Rob, Francesco, and Tom, and give me the opportunity. And I benefit both places from Waterloo and the CP3, and both are fantastic places. So we start from some friendly slide. And so basically, so I want to emphasize is the whole story about the 1ONF, to me, it's really a history or a story is about how to fighting this U1 Landau pool issue. So eventually, after certain, you can say, flaws, or it's not completely perfect, and then eventually we lead to this partition alarm. So it's the U1 Landau pool, it's really a issue, connected all these three articles.
Sorry, may I add, the U1 Landau pool is that energy is bigger than Planck, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's not really an issue.
By the way, we treat it seriously. We really want to.
You are,
but it depends which quantum gravity you are. Because if you have the quantum gravity by Alberto and Sturm, then basically, since the gravity is actually vanishing in the problem,
yes.
The only problem you have is you.
Yeah, it has zero contribution.
You don't know what happens, right? So
that's. This is true always. You don't know.
That's the point. That's, so, I mean, it's an unknown territory, so.
Yeah, yeah. So this just provides a possibility to explore it, right?
On the other hand, I don't have to worry about that from the beginning. Wouldn't you like it?
Very well.
If I could not worry about this from the beginning, wouldn't it be better of something that perhaps I have to solve?
For quantum gravity, that's.
But if I solve it before quantum gravity, wouldn't it be better that I make it with quantum gravity?
For quantum gravity, you might still destroy your solution.
But you have proven that. Well, I can prove that you can do it before the ground.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So this actually is it's already been mentioned many times. I just emphasize a little bit that actually both are asymptotic free and asymptotically safe, but to me are equally good. So lots of our scenario actually a combination of some of the fixed point are Gaussian, some of the interacting. So it's like a partial safe, partial free. Okay. Are equally good to me. So this is also mentioned a lot. It's the thing I'm particularly in. So basically, you have a positive and negative contribution, and you have to use in Yukawa. But the thing occurred to me is that actually even you have this Yukawa couplings there. So if you try to deviate away from the LISA model, the lithium sonino, the Venetiano limit. And then it's to me it's in a certain representation we explore. The still you need a highly non-perturbative Yukawa, particularly if you're involving U1. It's actually we explore the Yukawa is probably needs to be around 500 or 1,000 to debalance. So you need a really so that's another U1 problem. If you just simply think of this gauge Yukawa system. Okay, so this is, let's enjoy a little bit of art, right? This is the LISA model. So this is under perfect control. It's when you have Venetian limit, because you see the previous slides and it's slow. So in this case, this B is you can make arbitrary small, then eventually you can have the Yukawa under completely perturbative control to balance it, to make the eventually safe. So this is a perfect model, LISA model. However, so at that time, I'm thinking of how to connect this to phenomenology, as Rob also mentioned very well. I tried how to make the NC to be finite, and also how to address this U1 issue to go beyond this arts model. So this is the stuff we are really looking into, and I don't want to do it again. It's mentioned many times. This just to give you some more memory of it. also, it's just to make clear, this is you will have a UV fixed point if you really plot it. So then it's afterward, then we generalize basically Bob Holden's and also Origen Francesco's work and to a more complicated, to a real model, to the STEM model. Also, Rob has very nicely summarized it. And one very tiny thing I want to emphasize is that you need an NF, it's large enough and so to suppress this 1 over NF square contribution to make this 1 over NF viable. Otherwise, I think it's good, has been summarized. So this is our money plot. And actually, I was really, really happy at that time when I got this. And it was one of the happiest moments in my life, right? And however, I found that we really have a...
But my tweets about that.
One off. Okay, I'm very cautious. Okay, it's in the video.
He's still young. It's okay.
So.
There's better things.
However, you see that after that, immediately, genius Francesco, after just 10 days, tell me the U1 has problem.
Yeah.
So
it felt a bit disappointed.
So you can see it's basically. Yes, this one. It's basically only 10 days after our work. Immediately, Francesco tell me the enormous dimension blow up, but U1 has problem. Okay, it's a perfect picture, basically breaks. Then you need to think of something else, how to go beyond that. So this deserves to mention a little bit. It's normally, there are two ways, right? One has been studied a lot is you just embed U1 into a non-abelian group. Then, but mostly has been studied as asymptotically free work. I think Abeto has a study on that. And the second one is ours. But however, the U1, because it's Francesco's work, and I think definitely partially failed at that time. But eventually, after Anders and Nicole and us did the second work, it's a complete fail for the U1. So all these flaws basically motivate the study of a safe grand unified theory where U1 can be embedded in a non-abelian group. So that's it's a motivation. So that's a small story inside about the work. The large NF beta is basically Anna's talk yesterday. Originally, actually, to my viewpoints, I was first interested in this work is because I really want to use a semi-simple gauge to solve this problem, to solve this U1 problem. So the basic idea is, for example, the U1 itself has a problem, but if you have a vector-like fermion charged under both the abelian and the non-abelian, I hope, at that time, I really hope that it will shift the pole from the abelian pole to the non-abelian pole. Then it's after that, then it's, you have a perfect picture. And because the semi-simple is naturally occurred in the STEM model. However, the two genius, Nicola and Anas, that afternoon, when they tell me my formula is wrong, the semi-simple, so eventually, basically, the semi-simple idea to solving the U1 problem fail again. So that's the second story. So I'm really fighting the U1 for all the time, throughout all three articles. Of course, the article itself is extremely good. This is no doubt. But one of the motivation to address this U1 problem failed. So the only choice we left is embedding now. So that's no other way to do. It's you have to embed in certain grand unified theory. And
so if you can defeat it, you join it. If you cannot defeat them, you join them.
Yeah. Yeah. I really want to use other ways to rather than embedding. But Francesco actually realized very early and you have to do this. And so this is the work we, the model we study, as the Patisserie model. So basically, it's, you have the gauge group SU4 times SU2L times SU2R. And the good thing is this kind of model is you have a left-right symmetry automatically. And at the same time, it automatically provides you the right-handed neutrino. So that's, to me, is also interesting at the phenomenological level. So the symmetry breaking pattern is, there are lots of ways to break it. So one of the simplest is you directly break it. You're using a phi r. I will go to more and more detail later on. And you directly break the Patisserie arm to the stand model. So that's quite a few attractive features. This is actually, I think it really deserved to read the Patisserie very recent review of his own work. And he lists a lot, and I only select a few of which make most sense to me. Of course, there are more. So the first thing is basically it's a unification of all 16 members. I have shown that. As you see, compared with SU5, there's only 15, and the right-handed neutrino is not automatically involved. The second one is the quantization of the electric charge. Also, you have a quark lepton unification through the SU4 and the lepton as a fourth color. And the right-handed neutrino is automatically involved. also, you have universality for the weak interaction with respect to the quark and the lepton. And the conservation parity and B minus L, all sorts of stuff. And you can also embed the Patisserie if you prefer simple group. People have different philosophies. Some people, at least to me, or maybe also to Francesco, I think a semi-simple is fine. But some people really like a simple group, and it's very natural to, you can embed this into SO10. So really to study the safety of it, and so the foundation actually is also the work yesterday Anna's talk mentioned. So this time we really need to study the bubble dive contribution to the cortic and the bubble dive contribution to the Yukawa. There are more diagrams and this because limited slides, I only introduced two. Also actually later I will show you is what's the difference if you turn on this bubble dive contribution or turn off, what's the difference of the coupling I will show you. So the very good thing of the work by us, and I should mention I was also inspired by Francesco Stremia and Alberta's work. And the good thing is eventually it provides a kind of a recipe. So it's not just for this Patisserie arm, but it's when you seriously, if you're using this work, it's actually you can apply for all different kinds of models. If the beta functions are originally calculated, you just input. Then this is completely normalized, and this bubble diagram function is provided. So it's very friendly to use. So by using this recipe, you can do any kind of work. So this is the first one in Patisserie arm. So feel free to do more and win some citation for our work. So this is the recipe for the Yukawa. Also, we will have also the recipe for the cortic. So if you know this C alpha, C alpha prime, and C alpha beta are already calculated in all particular model to one loop level order, and you just input them and say immediately you can see what's the bubble diagram contribution to it by using this. By the way, this is, if you read a little bit of these two, the IG force and the G1 squared, G2 squared, so basically what I mean is if you really set K alpha to K beta, and this one will decay to this. So these two are really consistent. It's a really consistent formula, okay?
Sorry, what was K alpha? I've lost it. What was K alpha?
K alpha is K is the there are several notation, so it's a little bit messed up. So the original one we in our PI we use A. So it's a
okay.
So yeah, yeah. So and then we use K.
All right.
And yes.
It's
so
like G alpha squared NF over 4 pi squared or something
yes.
like that for each alpha.
Yeah, times NF.
Yeah, times
yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's half the coupling this way, yeah. Okay. It's a so
NF is the number of SU2 doublets or is it NF is the number of SU2 doublets that you have.
Oh, it's the I will show you the let's see.
Or is it just the number of or the number of multiples for that particular case?
Yes, here.
Okay, right. Okay.
Yes. So, but I will go yes. Okay. Yeah. Then you will get is how I construct the model. I just try to build up step by step. So the pole structure. So since we have the recipe of all these beta function, then I can show you why. It's really, the U1s really become a problem if you don't have this kind of grand unified model. And so if you write out the Yukawa is still fine. Because even you have a U1, the K alpha reached very, very close to 15 over 2. This provides a very large negative contribution to the beta Y, and it's a multiplicated proportion to Y. It's important. So eventually the Y just become asymptotic free. So this is fine. But however, in the codec, it's become a serious problem. You can see it's actually because the particular this term, because it's not a multiplicated proportion to the lambda. So this actually provides extremely, extremely, extremely large negative contribution here. So eventually the beta lambda just blow up to very, very negative. So that's why it's actually when you try to involve in the scalar, it's make the U1 even worse. So there's no way to save it. But from this pole structure, it's very clear.
Can I ask about, because I'm interested in the other ones as well, the Lytton-Sonnino fixed point. Can I take a limit where I increase the NC towards NF and I start to go from one to the other, or I possibly have both?
Actually, we are thinking, but I'm not 100% sure yet.
Right.
Yeah, but I think this definitely deserves to, it's on our list.
I think the problem with that is that the interplay between large N and large NF. Yeah. It's actually, this formula is good, it's more large NF. This one is good.
This one has been information.
Right, so this is good at large NF.
Yeah, so 5 NC.
Right. But everything's in terms of NF, so it doesn't seem to care what NC.
No,
it
does.
It does?
Yeah. Because when you do the resolution in F, you can expand it around the limit where you expect the beta function to be basically a constant plus 1 over NF. If you didn't have the constant, the problem with QAD is exactly that there is no constant at the beginning. In other words, you're not expanding in the right way. So it is a limit, so NC fixed larger one over NF. Tuku, in principle, can lower, if you keep adding 1 over NF square, 1 over NF cube, then eventually recover everything, then you could also drop at C. But you cannot do it at the leading order. So, in other words, the critical NF, for which you lose this stuff is proportional to number dumps in C.
Okay. So all the coefficients in here are NF expansion of functions of NC.
Okay, let's move on. So that goes to the advantage of the grand unified theory, and you don't need to read all of this. So basically from this, for the non-abelian, if the grand unified theory, you don't have the U1 as a fundamental involved, it's completely non-abelian gauge group involved, it's the pole is only occurred k equals 3. You can see from the previous slides that all these problems comes at the pole at 15 over 2. So if you have a non-abelian group, the pole is only occurred at 3. So never reach to this 15 over 2. So that's then you don't have this kind of similar quartic problem in the non-abelian theory. So this is fantastic. Everything is consistent. The pole is, there's no pole problem. So the Patisalam, so from this, we have the conclusion that Patisalam basically has the potential to be asymptotically safe because we don't have this kind of pole problem as the U1. So we go slightly more detail. Now let's go to the Patisalam model. And I already mentioned basically when you introduce this kind of scalar field, and you will have this partition symmetry break into directed stem model. At the same time, you also need to break the electroweak symmetry breaking, and you can involve in this vial doublet, which is charged and it's 1-2-2. So it's this is SU4 and 2-2. So this is all the couplings we involved in this model. You can see it's quite a lot. So it's a little bit, it's not a little bit, it's definitely a challenge to ask me and Emiliano initially, and to study such a bigger system in the safe scenario. So this is the gauge, and you will have this Ikawa, and all these are scalar coordinate couplings. So this I just, I don't want to go into detail because since we are really focused on the safety, but that's the gauge field content. And so similar procedure recipe, and you need to involve in the new particles. So for simplicity, so we introduced basically the vector-like fermions, and we choose this kind of charge assignment. And we didn't choose this in also under the fundamental representation because we try to avoid this the fractional charge. So, and also at the same time, it's actually we already have the recipe for semi-simple, but we try to make the simple. So we didn't make it semi-simple as well. So you can see it's only under one group. So when involving this, so first we study the gauge beta function as a subsystem. It's because at one loop level, you can completely decouple from the rest. You can study this as a subsystem. And so this is the original Patisalam, the gauge coupling. And this is the H function, the bubble diagram contribution to it. So you put these together. So what's happening for this gauge subsystem? So this is really amazing, actually. So if you choose a sample value like this, that you choose NF2L equals 35, and then NF2R equals NF4 equals 140. You can choose a different value, okay? It's which is to make this 35 because of some Dinkey index, because we choose adjoint representation. So it's the effective value of this is also 140. So that's why it's basically they reach to the fixed point at the same value. So this actually provides a gauge unification. So I think to me it's even better than the other gauge unification because it's reached to the fixed point and it's after no matter how far you go and it's always stay there the same. So it's really unified, right? And you have millions choice of it. You just make it the same. And it, for NF2L in our scenario, adjoint representation just divided by 4. It's very, very simple.
Is that the only choice that gives this all couplings asymptote to the same value?
Oh, I just made you're just choosing whatever the value they are equal, the effective value they are equal. But because the NF2, we are using the adjoint representation just divided by 4. So for example, you're choosing the N tilde, all the value are N tilde. So you will get NF2L equals N tilde divided by 4. And the rest is equal to N tilde. You will get
N tilde is the same. But
yes.
What I mean is that the only thing? If they're all the same, they'll all asymptote to the same value no matter what. Or is there a particular value of N tilde you have to pick?
Oh, it's always like that. Of course, but you cannot go too large. You'll always have an upper bound for the N.
So you could choose other values of N tilde and you'll still get this.
Yes, and unless you be careful about the upper bound. Because
in some region.
Yeah, in some region. And you have upper bound because when NF2 large, basically it's it goes to even below this. It's not going to this feature. Okay, it's basically also going to the second branch, as you mentioned. And if the NF is too slow, too small, it's basically it's one of NF square contributions comes in. So one of NF is not valid. So basically, you always have a window for this kind of a game. So it's, you have upper bound and the lower bound.
What's the lower bound?
Lower bound is for, that's it's actually very clearly mentioned by Francesco. It's a basic NC times 10. So around that, if you make the more exact probably you can see times 15 up to you. So something like that. So for, for NF4, it's 4 times 10. It's basically the, yeah, you can get it. So the existence of UV fixed point. So we definitely you can have UV fixed point. So here before, Simeon, so you're involving the bubble contribution to only in the gauge, without not in the Yukawa and the cortic. And after it means you're involving the bubble contribution to everything. So you can see it's some of the coupling actually before and after the UV fixed point. By the way, there are lots of UV fixed points. By following this vacuum stability, for this, for example, we found, Emiliano and me basically found around 40. You have 40 UV fixed points for this kind of choice, okay? And by constrained by this vacuum stability condition, you are left 5. So here we just show one of them. So there are actually a lot. And then it's, you can see some of them now change a lot. For example, this lambda 2 and this lambda R1. But some of the coupling actually change more. So for example, this kind of lambda 4. So for the second one, we choose a different NF setting. You can see now it's changed. So without the bubble diagram contribution to the Yukawa and the cortic, basically you get zero. You get zero UV fixed point solution. But after you're involving it, you do get the solution. So at certain point, and actually the new bubble diagram contribution actually has an advantage. So before you don't have, now you have. So this is basically, this is a little bit standard. You always need to, when you have the UV fixed point, you always need to classify it according to whether it's relevant or irrelevant. Let's make a definition. Relevant, in my RG flow, I'm running from, according to Francesco, I'm running from UV to IR. So the relevant one are the UV repulsive, and the irrelevant one are UV attractive. So it could be opposite of some of you guys' definition. And the first three is you don't necessarily care because at that time initially we tried to study a simpler model. So we turn off some of the coupling to make the simple to see what's happening. And then eventually when we gain more techniques and energy, we study more and more coupling and the full model. Okay, so after 4 and 5 actually are the full model. And the D0 is basically it's a Gaussian fixed point. It's not an interacting fixed point. So you can see it's you can classify it. And for this case 4, you only have 2 relevant coupling. So which means actually it's constrained a lot. You don't have that many degree freedom at infra you can choose. It has very strong predictive power. And for the case 5, actually you only get 1 relevant. So it's a highly predicted. It has a highly predictive power, I should say. So then later on, I just show a few examples to see the running of it. So we choose an NF2 equals 40 and 130 and 130. So you will have this is the gauge coupling. I should mention this in all this case, that this dashed line is we assume that all the vector-like fermion are introduced at this 2000 TV. The reason is 2000 TV actually is the the bound which is provided by the experiment. Okay? So you need to above the 2000 TV. And so it's for simplicity, we just choose it as small as possible and put 2000 TV. And also, it's, we also make the 2000 TV as the, so we make the 2000 TV also as a partisalam symmetry breaking scale. You have the freedom to choose what kind of partisalam symmetry breaking scale you want. So we just try to make this simple. So experiment bound, we at the same time, we 2000 TV introduce a new vector like fermions, and at the same time, it's the partisalam symmetry breaking scale. You do have the freedom to evade them, okay?
So what experimental bound is it?
It's from the flavor physics, which you probably know more than me, eventually.
How is the proton decay?
Proton decay, actually, I looked into it. I think partisalam has much better than SU5. So it's actually, for example, I do remember, you really can go to the Partis review article. So for I think what I remember is for SO10, if it directly breaks something to stem on it, it really has problem. But if it has intermediate step, first break to partisalam, it actually is better. Actually, the better, if the hierarchy between the partisalam symmetry breaking scale and the SO10 scale is the bigger, the better for the proton decay.
How much become wild? Mild. I mean, because usually naive thinking that SU5 case, we have to have 10 to 16 ZB breaking scale.
But yeah.
How is a partisalam actually, which scale it's?
I think for purely partisalam, in my knowledge so far, it's perfectly fine. But when you involve SO10, you do have a problem. It's not a matter of a direct scale, it's a matter of the hierarchy between the SO10 and the partisalam. Mm-hmm. So it's, but I can look into more detail. It's in the Partis review article.
Are you saying that protons don't decay or they decay much longer?
I think you have the lepton quark, and in my mind, you always should have. Right, Francesco?
Yeah, I think you do always,
but it's much optimized, I think. That's yeah.
Compatible with experiment.
Yeah, it's compatible with experiment. I think, going to, because this is, in this work, we are more focused on the safety issue. And so, but in the next one, we are really looking into the phenomenology, actually. So you can see this is the basic, the Yukawa. You can see it's also realized the UB safety. And I should maybe also mention this. You can see the scale when it reached to the safety. The diagram is. So around so 10 to the 8, lies between the 10 to the 8 and 10 to the 9 in this setting. What's happening? Okay, let's just do this. So it's almost finished. I just show a few samples. I have more diagrams in my article. So it's when we put on, I can feel free to read it. And so this is for the quadric coupling. You can see this lambda R1 is the one connect to the phi R. You can also have the UV safety, which around the similar scale, you will have the fixed point. And for this lambda R2, it's the same, okay? So then I think, I finished in time. And so the conclusion is, so asymptotically safe grand unified theory is, to me, is feasible with a large NF. And the U1 problem is addressed. So I'm not very strong to say it's guaranteed, but it's feasible. So some of the next step definitely is to explore more in the phenom part of it. So for example, it's, you can really flop the UV and the 2IR after electric weak symmetry breaking to see whether it's consistent with the standard model targeting. So far, we haven't completely studied this because it requires a very careful RG running, and you really need to try different kind of NF to see what's happening. So there are a lot to explore, I should say. Okay.
First of all, thank you for making my life so easy, because you always finish on time. The easiest session I have here. So.
Yeah, so I just wanted to ask a little bit about where they all asymptote to the same value, which I think is a rather attractive feature.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, 35, like, I understand all the n tildes have to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
And if I understood you right, you have a range of n tildes you could pick.
Yes.
So is that the what is the particular one there? What singled that out? Is that the smallest value?
It's random. It's completely random. Actually, we did a lot, and we just randomly choose it's because Emiliano did his setting and I did my setting. Sometimes I get stronger and Emiliano has to agree with my setting. So, but both setting, the NF is just a work.
Okay, so if you picked, so under, it, like, since I'm the guy who mentioned optimum, and if my idea of optimality is less is more, what's the smallest value of NF tilde you could pick?
I think it's, probably it's just, you can go as low as lower bound, but at a certain, okay.
Well, how big is that?
Like, it's 10 times NC.
10 NC.
NC. So it will be like our PIL. Yeah, it will be like our
40 here, right?
40, 50 or something, yes.
Yeah.
The issue is, so far, if you don't care about it, so eventually all these coupling will run completely matching the standard model. And I think you really have this freedom. But after you really constrained using this infrared value, then it's highly constrained. I think only a few selection of NF will eventually be viable. So far, it's you have lots of freedom.
Okay.
So
someone else has a question?
Then in principle, I can discuss more. I try to delete obviously in case the.
So
in the Padisalam, did you manage so far to get also the Quartix and the Yukawas asymptotically safe?
Yes. This is the diagram I've shown. Even I can show you my draft article.
Okay.
Yes. Exactly true. And actually for the, there's one very special Yukawa. And this is used to...
Asymptotically safe, I mean also free is fine. Huh?
Because actually, even free is fine. But that's one very special YF. Actually even in your articles, you do remember that's YF. That's a very special Yukawa there. And this YF normally is free. But only when you turn on this bubble contribution in the Yukawa and the Cortic, Emiliano and Mies, we are surprised we can find a safe. So we can have both safe and free when you turn on. So this bubble diode contribution in the Yukawa and the Cortic are really good. It's amazing. So it's not destroy the picture, actually makes the picture better. You have more choice, okay.
I was just curious about these. I think you mentioned there was 40 UV fixed points.
Yes, UV fixed point solution.
Shutting off some of the couplings.
Say it again.
How do you get the 40? Is that by sort of letting some of the couplings run free and then you get one fixed point, let others run free, you get another?
Yeah, sort of like, yeah, if you say really the mathematical. For actually, you finding fixed point, it's not that non-trivial. It's really about the running is a little bit non-trivial.
Okay.
So yeah, fixed point, basically, I can even show you my mathematical code. Yeah.
So this is not just a GUT-specific question, but really a question to all of these extensions. Can you change the order of the phase transition for the electro weak phase transition to make it first order from properly coupling the
okay, this is
that's right.
This is a top secret because
we'll tell you the answer, but then we'd have to kill you.
it makes you really, really good, right? This is on the list, the next list between Francesco, Rob, and Tom and me.
Should I expect the answer in the paper? I gather it.
Okay. Yeah, it will take a while. even there are lots of things there's a few things I don't, I cannot, yeah, maybe you can help. It's for example, the.
I can say one thing that
okay.
Speak to the character. I think it's amazing to have, you know, persons like Jiwei, they're so excited about what they do. It's amazing that they have our field is an old team where, you know, we keep constantly, you know, visiting the same talk a long time. But it's refreshing to see younger people which are actually generally, you know, enthusiastic about what they do. It's really, you know, and this is completely off the, you know, the life, but it's really great. Because I have seen it with Jiwei comes into the group and, you know, kind of pushes you very much to get excited, things like that. This is really good. People that are generally positive, right? So anyway, it's finding a bit of a, you know, fun in what you do. Right? As you can see, you know, it's not really shy, but sure. So this is and so you want to continue.
But we can discuss more later on. Yeah. It's a little bit.
Come out before he
talks. But I mean, I think there's also, to make fact, we could just say comment also to go to that to all this thing. I mean, it is a path that, I mean, one is safe or free, that's really, I'm not attached to one or the other.
Yeah.
It's a path. But now we have a different way you can compete your peers before the landscape. And they have interesting, I mean, well, it wasn't obvious. I want to stress that because I don't think this passes a message. I mean, once you require safety before the landscape, it was not obvious at all you can make it. It's not a trivial statement, right? Because the carbon must be just about right to reproduce the carbon of the Republic. Why for asymptotic freedom also is not obvious because you're going to be on the values of the carbon and the energy. Similarly, it's not an obvious game, and it doesn't have any necessary to be off, but it offers a different way of doing this stuff. And I don't know. It's, I find it that it's an interesting exercise, if not for anything else, to learn about to learn about even your karmas per se. I would say that unless there are any further questions, we should thank him.